257-4957.
Happy New Year. At this time of the year, many reflect on the past year, where we are, where God wants us to be, and plan to make changes to help us move closer to the mark God has set for us. This year, ask God to examine you, show you where you need to change, and help you make those changes. With God's help, this year can be your best year ever.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longwell.
Last week we started a message on examining yourself and allowing God to examine you. In fact, even asking God to examine you. And we're going to continue that this week. Last week, we did cover several topics, including examining your physical body, your physical health, making sure that you're doing what is necessary in your power to help your health, to help you to be as healthy as you possibly can be, so that you can accomplish as much as you can possibly accomplish for God. We also talked about examining our priorities, making sure that we're first seeking first the kingdom of God, not seeking first our health, not seeking first our finances, not seeking first relationships or pleasure, but seeking first God in His kingdom. We went over financial examination as well. It's important that we actually look at our finances and make sure that we're living our life in a way that we're living below our means, that we're actually doing what is necessary so that we can earn a sufficient amount of money to not only take care of our needs, but also to help other people as well. God wants you to be able to be a blessing to other people. And certainly there are times where you may be in a position where you need help from others. And I've certainly been in this position at various times in my life, and I've been very grateful for those who have helped out. But it's also helpful if you can get to a place where, again, you're spending less than what you earn, so that all of your needs are taken care of. Maybe not all of your desires and wants, but all of your needs are taken care of, then you can have an abundance left over to help other people. We also went over your relationship examination. It's time for us to examine our relationship to make sure that we are living the way God wants us to live, that we are actually loving one another, that people see that we're Christians, know that we're Christians, not because we tell them that we're Christians, but they actually know we're Christians because we love one another. Husbands love their wives. Wives love their husbands. Parents love their children. Children love their parents. You also see people loving one another. And this should be something that we should look at. And today we're going to actually look at, focus on the spiritual examination. And this is very important. It's vitally important that we actually, one, examine ourselves, and we also ask God to examine us. And the Bible actually presents both of these as and tells us to do so. And we should actually do this. We should follow the principles of the Bible. In Psalm chapter 139, we read this verse as part of our opening passage last week. We read this verse and went over this verse last week as well. Beginning of verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So this is actually a prayer from the psalmist asking God to search him, to search him. "Search me, O God, and know my heart." So we should be praying that God would search us, that God would know our heart. What is the heart? It's really our mind, our will, our emotions. Try me and know my anxieties. What do I worry about? In fact, one of the things that the Bible says is that even though, and this is a very difficult lesson to learn, but even though we have problems sometimes, even though we are faced with trials, even though there are things that come to us where we want to actually worry and be anxious, the Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing, instead to pray about everything. And so we should actually cast our cares upon the Lord instead of worrying, and see if there is any wicked way in us. So we should ask God to examine us. Is there any wicked way in me? Is there anything that I am doing that I need to change? And lead me in the way everlasting. So this should be our prayer. We should be praying that God would search us. This is not the only place in the Bible that talks about this, and we'll actually read more in other passages as well. And really asking God to examine us. We need to be asking God to show us where we need to change, areas that we need to grow in. And really, when we're talking about our spiritual life, it's not just us and God, it's also us and others. So even the principle that we talked about with our relationships, God cares about not only how we treat Him and how we obey His commandments, but also how we treat others as well. And so we should be asking God to examine us all the time, but especially this time of the year, where a lot of people reflect upon their life and whether they are doing what they need to do to really, some people don't put God into the equation, but we should put God into the equation, because our desire really should be to love God and to honor Him and to enjoy Him, to honor Him and to keep His commandments. That should be our purpose. And we see also in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, that we are also to examine ourselves. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. So here we see that really we are to examine ourselves. So we're to ask God to examine us, but we're also to examine ourselves. We're to search ourselves. Again, a lot of people do this time of year. Not everyone is doing it from a perspective of the Bible and what God wants and really what the Bible says, but we need to do that. We need to search ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. And it says here, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. So we talked a little bit about this last week, and what we'll see from this passage and also the next passage is that really the Apostle Paul and Peter, if you read their writings, one of the things you'll see is that they did believe that God was sovereign in salvation, that salvation is completely God, not us, but they also believed in the personal responsibility. And that's our role, making sure that we're doing what is right, making sure that we are in the faith. And really, when we do this, again, we talked a little bit about this last week. There are some people that really they're focused solely on the sovereignty of God, so much so that they actually believe and sometimes even teach that you can actually go out if you say a prayer, if you go to church. In fact, if you say the prayer, you can do whatever. I've heard ministers say this. After you say this prayer, you can go out and do whatever you want, and you're still going to heaven. And then on the flip side, there are other people who are so afraid of losing their salvation that they're in the altar every single service repenting of their sins because they're afraid that they're going to hell. And really, God's sovereignty is presented as complete truth in salvation, and also our personal responsibility is also considered as complete truth. And really, you have a mixture of these, that God is sovereign, but we also have a role to play. And that role here is, the Apostle Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. So he's saying, make sure you're in the faith. Don't just assume that because you go to church. By the way, going to church doesn't get you to heaven. Saying a prayer doesn't get you to heaven. Helping old ladies across the street doesn't get you to heaven. And I do want to mention, I'm not against helping old ladies across the street. One member of our church one time was heard me say that and thought I was against helping old ladies across the street. I'm not against that. But that's not going to get you to heaven. There's nothing you can do that will get you to heaven. But you need to make sure that you are in the faith, that Jesus Christ has saved you. I know there's one minister that I know that is, he's a Reformed minister. He believes in the sovereignty of God in salvation. He believes in election. And he was not a Christian. And he was praying to God and saying, God, I don't know if I'm elect or not. But if I'm not elect, can you make me elect? Because I want to be a Christian. I want to serve you. And the Apostle Paul here is saying, make sure that you are in the faith. Because otherwise, you might be disqualified. But he's saying, I trust that you're not disqualified. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 10, says something very similar, a very similar actual concept here. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. So this is really interesting. Those two words, and especially mentioned with our doing something about it. So the call is from God. The election is from God. And yet Peter is saying, make sure that you make your call and election sure. In other words, do what you need to do to make sure that you are elect. Call out to God to make sure that God has done a work in your life. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. So you see here, us doing this, us actually taking responsibility, us actually making sure that we have been saved, that God has done a work in us, makes it so that we will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in this present truth. So here's the thing. Peter is saying, listen, you know this, but I'm still going to remind you of this. You know what? There's some things that are so important that we need to be reminded about them. And in fact, we need to be reading the Bible, and we need to be praying, and we need to be doing what God wants us to do. Because you know what? There's portions of the Bible that you need to know. You're going to forget it. You're not going to remember it. And it's important to actually remind ourselves and to be reminded. And Peter says, even though you know this, I'm going to remind you. And I'm also going to make sure that even though you're established in this truth, I'm going to remind you about this. And Peter even at one point, I believe it was Peter, it might have been Paul, but one of them said that he would actually remind them about something. And even after he was dead, he would actually raise up. He would actually make sure that there's someone that would remind them to do what they need to do. And in Philippians chapter 2, beginning of verse 12, we read, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." So here you see the concept of God's sovereignty and salvation really mentioned in the same passage, the same two verses, with our responsibility. "As you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So that's the personal responsibility part. Fear and trembling. Why fear and trembling? Well, you know what? We know there's consequences. There are consequences to not serving God. There are consequences to not having our sins washed away. There are consequences. Those consequences can include, if we don't repent of our sins, if we don't turn to God, they do include death and hell, eternal punishment. So we actually see here that God is actually calling for us. The Apostle Paul is actually saying that we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling, that we should make sure that we are in the faith, that we should make our call and election sure, that we should be diligent to make our call and election sure, that we should examine ourselves and make sure that we are in the faith. And then he goes on and talks about the sovereignty of God. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." So, you know, God could have made us robots. He could have made us so that we perfectly obey all the time, that we do everything that we're supposed to do as we're programmed to do. Yet, that's not how God did it. God works with us. He works with our mind, our will, our emotions, our feelings. He allows us to be a part of doing his word, his work. And so we have this responsibility that is coupled with the sovereignty of God. And so we have this ability to actually take part in the work of God, even in our own lives. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." So we are to examine our own work to make sure that we're doing what is necessary. You know, when we become apathetic, when we become lazy, it's something that really we're not experiencing everything that God wants us to experience. We need to be diligent in our faith. We need to be diligent to make sure that we are saved, to be diligent to make sure that God has called us, to make sure that we are in the faith, that we are Christians, and that we are doing what God has called us to do. And then when we do that, we have this blessing of assurance. We have the ability to rejoice in what God has done in us. And in Psalm chapter 19, beginning at verse 7 and reading through verse 14, we read, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." And this is something that you'll see throughout the Bible, that the Word of God, God's commandments, actually does a work in our lives. It is perfect, converting the soul. One of the things that the Bible tells us, I believe it's in Galatians, that the law is our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. The Apostle Paul said that he would not have known sin except through the law. You see, the law told him that he needed to honor God, that he needed to honor the Sabbath. He needed to not take the Lord's name in vain, and the various other commandments. And he was trying to do all of that and keep all of that. And then he came to the commandment of coveting and the 10th commandment. And he realized that God cares not only about our outward actions, but also our inward thoughts. And he realized that he was a sinner and that he needed a Savior. You need to realize, if you haven't repented of your sins and pled for Jesus to cleanse you of your sins, you need to do so. And before you really can adequately do so, you need to know that you're a sinner. And the law of God does that. The law of God is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So when we read the Bible, it actually can make us wiser and more like God. It can take a foolish person or a simple person and make them wise. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. So when we read the Bible, we can change our view, especially if you measure what you're reading with what you believe. And when you see that there's something that's wrong, that you believe that's not in the Bible, that's not according to the Word of God, well, you change your belief, and then you actually can rejoice in your heart for the Word of God. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So God's Word actually gives us light to our eyes to show us how we should actually live. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Every single one of us needs to have the fear of the Lord. We need to fear displeasing God. We need to fear the punishment that comes from sinning. You know, one of the things that keeps me from sinning quite often is the fear of the Lord. Actually knowing that whether I get away with something here on earth or not, I'm still going to answer for that action. I'm going to answer for that sin. And really, we have the ability to have a fear of God that can keep us away. And we know that God is sovereign, that God knows everything. And we can actually have this fear of God. And really, it can keep us from doing things that we shouldn't do. So we see here that the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So his judgments are true. He is true, and they are righteous. They're not arbitrary. In fact, you know, really every one of us deserves death in hell. Every one of us deserves punishment. And the only way that we can escape that is through the blood of Jesus. And that's because God poured out his wrath upon his son on the cross, and he bore your sins so that you can repent of your sins and come to him. So more to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. We should desire the word of God. We should desire his commandments. We should desire the law of God. We should desire to fear God. We should desire his judgments more than we do gold. And they are sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So God warns us through his word, showing us the consequences of our sins if we commit those sins. There are multiple passages that talk about the consequences of sin, and God is faithful to warn us about them. And and when we keep them, there is great reward. There's blessings in doing so. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. So we need to realize that we don't fully understand all of our errors, all of the errors of our ways, but we need to ask God to keep us from secret faults. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. So we are to actually ask God to keep us back from presumptuous sins, to not allow sin to have dominion over us. We're to be not to be slaves of sin anymore. We're to have to break free from that and actually be slaves of righteousness, that I may be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. And then in verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So we need to actually pray that God would make the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, what you're thinking about, acceptable in his sight. Are your words acceptable in his sight? Think about some of the things you've said in the last week. Are your thoughts acceptable in God's sight? If not, repent of your sins today and cry out to God for forgiveness. Ask him to not only save you, but also forgive you and set you free from that sin. And we'll talk more next week about how God does set us free from sin through reading and meditating upon his word. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, when the earth rejoices for the Lord and the multitudes of the isles are glad, when the Lord has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for his law, when the fullness of the Gentiles comes and you call your people Israel back into your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Happy New Year! At this time of the year, many reflect on the past year, where we are, where God wants us to be, and plan to make changes to help us move closer to the mark God has set for us. This year, ask God to examine you, show you where you need to change, and help you make those changes. With God's help, this year can be your best year ever.
I'm Mindy Molina, Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Experience resurrection life.
Listen to what's going on inside of you. There's a kingdom in there. God's trying to get something to you. Keep on going. You can't see your way, but when you get there, there'll be strength for that. There'll be a door open. There'll be people there. Tell somebody, keep on going.
No more church as usual. Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Visit us in person at 405 Exoria Avenue in Fort Pierce or online at trbanks.com.
This is Reverend Dave Boston, and I invite you to join us every Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. for Follow His Sandals.
This show is about practical keys to help all of us walk more closely with our Lord Jesus Christ to become better disciples.